right. Thank you so much. Let's look in 1 Timothy, if you will, please. Chapter number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. What a blessing it's been to be here with y'all today. Thank you for your hospitality and the wonderful meal that we had this afternoon. We certainly appreciate it and enjoyed the fellowship. I want to bring you a thought tonight, if we can, out of this passage of Scripture and a few others, if we can, this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1 with me, if you will, please, all right? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister question rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings. Desiring to be teachers of the law, they understand neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. That's as far as we'll read this evening. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And let's bow for just a moment of prayer if we can. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. It's an honor to stand here where Brother Shepherd stands, and we're so grateful for him and his wife, and I pray that you'd bless them, give them a wonderful time while they're gone and a safe travel back. Please help them as they leave this congregation to live for God and serve God. I pray that you'd please help us here for a few moments tonight, that you'd please open our understanding to the Scripture. And Lord, most of the things I'll say tonight will not be new to this congregation, but Lord, maybe it would affirm some things in our hearts and confirm some truths that we need in these days. Or maybe just, Lord, shore up some things, Lord, that need to be in this day that we live. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, let the Scripture speak to our hearts tonight. We do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this passage of Scripture, we understand that Paul is writing to young Timothy. He has told him to stay in Ephesus. And it says there in verse number 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And so we see there he is encouraging him to stay there. And he said that thou mightest charge some that teach no other doctrine. And so Timothy has received instruction from the Apostle Paul here. And in this letter and the next letter, 2 Timothy, Paul is instructing him on how to deal with certain things, what to do, what not to do, and how to instruct the people. In pastoring a church and being over a group of people, you would think sometimes people look at them, they're the ones that are in front of people, and you would think that would be a glamorous position, but it's not near as glamorous as you might think. Dealing with all the things, you never know what a pastor deals with, and he can't share everything with you, and nor should he sometimes. And you just have, that's why you have to trust the preacher. And you've got a preacher you can trust without doubt, and I thank God for that. But he has to deal with a lot of things you'll never know about. And I remember one time we was having some issues at church, and one man called me and said, "I'm leaving, preacher." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you didn't give that situation time." And I said, "Well, I couldn't tell everybody this, but I've been dealing with that situation for a year and a half." And he said, "Oh, you have?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I have." And he said, well, I'm leaving anyway. So that wasn't his purpose for leaving in the first place. But you can't tell everybody everything, and nor should you. You wouldn't want, if it's something private. Now, if it's public, and especially if it's sin, you may have to deal with it openly. But if it's a private matter or some personal things the preacher has to deal with, you don't understand this perhaps, but, you know, the preacher has his own burdens. And as a pastor, he has your burdens too. That's a lot on a man. That's a lot for a man to undergird and to take. But here in this passage of Scripture, Timothy is being taught by Paul on what to do and how to deal with particular situations. Paul is no stranger to what's going on here. And so he is giving some very specific instructions to Timothy on just how to deal with some of these things and what he ought to do. And I think people are people. People were people in their day, and they're still the same today. There's issues and problems. When you get a group of people together, even in your own household, sometimes you have disagreements. And so there's things go on in a church, and the more people you get, the more trouble, more problems you have potentially happening. And so we see here that Paul is instructing Timothy, but I want to key on a particular word if we can tonight. And it says in verse number 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I'm interested in that word doctrine tonight. Doctrine is a very important matter in the Scriptures. Actually, doctrine simply means whatever is taught. That which is taught from Scripture is Bible doctrine. And so a lot of denominations will say, well, we don't want to bring doctrine into the situation here. We want everybody just come in. But the problem is anything they teach is doctrine. The problem is most of the time it's wrong doctrine. Thank God we have a Bible tonight. We're not just giving out our opinions, but we give out the Word of God. That's why it says this in 2 Timothy, Paul instructs Timothy this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Thank God for that. But he goes on to say, and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is very important, very needful. We have, my pastor said here recently, and I had to agree with him, we've gotten in Christianity, in our independent Baptist churches, we've gotten to the place where mere preaching about doctrine, the principles and precepts of Scripture, are boring to people. They want some elaborate story, something to entertain people. The Scriptures aren't enough anymore, but they should be enough. Now, if a man has a story that will illustrate the Scripture, that's fine, but not that the story would be the premier thing that he's telling. And we've gotten in a place, we're in an entertainment generation, so everybody wants to be entertained. I like to be entertained, and I'm sure you probably do to some degree, but not when it comes to church. Church is not a place for entertainment. Church is a place of enlightenment, that we come and receive truth of Scripture that will help us to grow and to go and do the will of God in our life. And so in this passage of Scripture, he uses the word doctrine. Verse number 10, he uses it again. Look, if you will, please, at verse number 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured person, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. There, he used the word again, doctrine. So I'm interested in this word, doctrine, tonight. Paul wrote to Timothy, this little short 1 Timothy has the word doctrine mentioned in it 9 times in 6 short chapters. In the second letter, in 2 Timothy, it's mentioned 4 times. So I think it's a pretty big deal. I think we need to understand that tonight, and I know your pastor preaches you doctrine. This is nothing, I won't say anything new to you, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to build up the things and strengthen the things that remain, those things that we know to be so. We need to shore them up and be instructed in those things, because brethren, our independent Baptist churches are getting out of sorts with God when it comes to doctrine. In just about every area. And so here Paul is dealing with Timothy,
He knows the issues there at this church at Ephesus. He knows what's going on, and he is teaching him and instructing him what to do. He says in verse number 3, look back there if you will for a moment. He says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You mean there's other doctrines? Oh yes, there is. There's other things being taught in our churches that are not right. And so he's telling them here that you teach that I charge you that some, they teach no other doctrine. You don't allow that. And I'm telling you, if a man, I knew a church one time, and the Sunday school teacher would get up, the adult Sunday school teacher would get up and teach something contrary to what the pastor preached. And then the pastor would get up and preach what he was preaching. And it was a constant conflict. That pastor should have set that teacher down and said, if you're not going to line up with Scripture, if you're going to teach your own ideals and thoughts, then you need not be the teacher any longer until you can get back into Scripture. And so here, Paul is telling Timothy, you don't allow that to happen. You stop it if it continues to happen. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal about teaching another doctrine? Well, he goes on to say in verse number 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. I tell you, it will lead to other things and it will be a progression and it will get people out of sorts with God if you allow other doctrines to be taught. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is instructing Timothy to do that. He says, verse number 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, have a pure heart and of a good conscience and of good and of faith and fame, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain janglings. And see, it goes on and on. They'll turn aside and go from one thing to another, and it's never ending. Once they get outside of Scriptures, where are the boundaries? They're as far as you want to go. So here we see that he deals with the doctrine here, that they teach no other doctrine. Then he says in verse number 10, he names all these things, and he gets down verse number 10, and if there be anything other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You say, well, preacher, the preacher, he preaches on things, on stuff. Well, he's supposed to preach on something if it's contrary to sound doctrine. If it's something that is not lined up with Scripture and is in the will of God according to Scripture, he's supposed to deal with that. He's obligated to do that by the mandate of Scripture. So here he is instructing Timothy, you deal with anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. The word sound there means true and incorrupt. And I'm telling you, if you want the true teaching, the doctrine of Scripture, stay within the bounds and the confines of Scripture, and you will not go wrong. That's why we have it. Praise God for it. Because the Bible said there in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine. The word profitable means beneficial. And it will help us to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to help us to grow as Christians if we get sound doctrine. And from that, we get that from the Word of God. So he deals with doctrine two times in chapter number 1. Look at chapter number 4 for a moment, if you will, please. Look at chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, he says, now the Spirit, verse number 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And doing so, what do? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, God's not the only one that has doctrine. The devil's got doctrines. And there's a lot of independents that are yielding to that. A lot of independent Baptist churches are yielding to that. And we can preach about every other denomination all day long and we say, amen, but I'm telling you, it's not way out there any longer. It's come within our own ranks. Amen. And here Paul says, they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. But that's not all. And doctrines of devils. That's what it says there. That word doctrines of devils, that phrase there means distinct, destructive errors seducing from the truth. And you can try to show somebody that won't believe the truth, you can try to show them the truth all day long. But if God don't open their understanding, brother, it's just like talking to a block wall. They don't want to hear it. It doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their lifestyle. They're not interested in that. We've went to all kinds of events. We used to preach on the street a lot. We'd meet everything you can imagine, every kind of person, every belief, every religious platform, whatever you want to say. And I'm telling you, if it did not fit their criteria, it didn't matter how true it was, they did not want to hear it. But they would accept the doctrines of devils. And you and I must understand that there's not just this doctrine and that's all. No, there's more than this doctrine. There's doctrines of devils, and that's what it says here in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Look at verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. In that passage, the word good means excellent in its nature and characteristics. So there's such a thing as sound doctrine, and there's such a thing as good doctrine. And that's what we ought to embrace, and that's what we ought to desire, is sound doctrine and good doctrine, and good doctrine is Bible doctrine. Amen. So he deals with that thought in verse chapter number 4. That's twice as mentioned there. Look at verse number 13. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Man, it just seemed like he keeps hitting this thought of doctrine over and over and over again, because the church at Ephesus needs to be grounded in sound doctrine. And Timothy is the one responsible to deal with this and instruct them properly. He said, till I come, give attendance. Give attendance. The word attendance means to devote thought and effort to. See, it don't just come and fall in our laps. We got to give some thought and effort to it. We've got to study, like the brother said this morning. We've got to study and give ourselves to it and try to learn. If the only thing you learn is right here, you're going to be very limited in your Christian life. Now, your pastor is going to direct you and guide you, but he can't teach you everything you need to know in just 3 services a week. You ought to read, you ought to study, you ought to pursue. And he said here in this passage of scripture, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Give attendance to that. Be attentive to it. Work at it. Move toward it. Amen. And do the Lord's will in learning more about it. Then he says it one more time, uses this word one more time in verse number 16. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. What are you supposed to do? When you take heed to it. The word take heed there in that particular passage of scripture, it means to give attention to or to continue in. It means give attention to, and then it says continue in. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He said take heed, give attention to. We're supposed to pay attention. I promise you, I thought about this the other day. If I had paid attention, really paid attention, I've been saved, this May will be 40 years I've been saved. And if I'd really paid attention all those 40 years of all the messages I've heard and all the truth I heard, I'm telling you, I'd be way yonder above where I am now. And sometimes you sit in church and you just hear the preacher's voice and you're not really paying attention. Sometimes your thoughts are somewhere else. Not to say those other things don't need to have some attention, but not while you're here in the house of the Lord. Focus your attention on what the man of God is saying, because he's here to give you instruction. Can you imagine if these people didn't listen to Timothy? They would have missed the instruction that Paul had given Timothy for Timothy to give them. They must give attention. Must pay attention to it and give heed to it. So doctrine over and over and over and over again here in this book of Timothy. Paul is instructing Timothy about the church there and how much they need doctrine in their church. And then it says this in chapter number 5. Mentions doctrine in this chapter. But he used it a little bit different, but let's look at it. Chapter number 5, verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The word and doctrine. Here we see that Timothy is supposed to put put emphasis on this and realize that the elders that labor in word and doctrine ought to be, they're worthy of double honor. The word labor there in this passage of scripture means to toil with wearisome effort. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what you've ever done in your life, but if you've ever done manual physical labor, I'm telling you, it's tiresome. It's wearisome. But I'm telling you, studying the word and doctrine can be the same thing to the man of God. So, well, he don't get out here and work like I do. Oh, you don't understand the work that he does. You don't understand the toil that he prepares the scriptures with. You don't understand what load he is under and the things that he has to go through to try to give you the and study the word and doctrine. It says labor. What a unique word for that, for studying. Well, say he's sitting in a chair in an air-conditioned room and just reading a little bit. Oh, there's much more to it than that. There's a lot that goes into laboring in the word and in doctrine, and you can never be too good to him. Now, you're not supposed to worship him. He's God's man. You worship God. But you're supposed to give him honor. And here it says double honor. If he studies and he gives you this book and he gives you doctrine, he's labored in that, I'm telling you, you ought to honor that man. Amen. Exactly. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the scripture. Then it says it again. Use this word again in chapter number 6. Look here if you will, please. Chapter number 6, verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. What a unique place to put this word doctrine. He's talking about the people that work for somebody else, that labor for someone else. And I'm telling you, if you work for somebody and you shirk your responsibilities, you ever worked at a place and some guy, he's in the bathroom half the time. You can't find him when you need him. You don't know where in the world he's at. He's shirking his responsibilities. He's milking the clock. He's not trying to work and produce and be productive for his employer. I'm telling you, a man like that, he brings disgrace on the things of God. If he says he's a Christian, he'd be better off not to tell nobody he's a Christian if he's going to live like that. It says here that the name of God and his doctrine be blasphemed. If he's going to say he's a Christian, he believes that he's saved by the grace of God. He believes others need to be saved. And he does that to his employer. He's lost the confidence of his employer and of anybody else that knows what he does. That's a bad testimony for a person that says they're saved to shirk their responsibilities as an employer, as an employee, to do what he's supposed to do and then claim he's a Christian. I'm telling you, it says here that the name of his God and the doctrine that he says he believes is blasphemed if he does that. The word blasphemed here means to be evil spoken of. You know what they'll say? Yeah, boy, if that's Christianity, everybody's a Christian. I wouldn't want to be a Christian if that's the way Christians live and work. I wouldn't want to go to that church down there at that where that preacher preaches if his members are going to shirk their responsibilities and milk the clock and be freeloaders down at the job and I'm having to do my work and his too because he's sorry and no count. I'm telling you, that brings a bad testimony on the cause of Christ and on what the Bible says about that individual needs to be saved. They don't have no confidence in that. And rightfully so. If Paul is here telling Timothy this, and Timothy's supposed to relay these truths to that congregation, I'm telling you, those people need to perk up and listen to what he's saying. Say, well, preacher, I just don't like to work. Well, you like to eat, don't you? Well, if you like to eat, you ought to work. You may not like it. If you don't like it, try to find something you like, but that you can labor at and you can work at and earn your pay. Say amen right there. So here he uses the word doctrine again. I don't want the name of God and the doctrine of the scriptures be blasphemed because of my slackness and my unwillingness to work. They hired me for a wage. I'm supposed to earn that wage. And if I don't, you know what it does? It brings a bad report. It brings an evil report on the name of the Lord, on my so-called testimony, and actually on the church that I attend. And that's bad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Say amen right there. Then it says in verse number 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives and of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings, evil surmisings. There it uses the word doctrine in verse number 3. Doctrine which is according to godliness. The word godliness there means the doctrine that promotes godliness. The teaching of scriptures that teach us to be godly. God's people are supposed to be godly. We're supposed to live holy. We're supposed to live righteously. We're not perfect. But I'm telling you, we ought to strive to live by this book what the preacher preaches. I'm telling you, if we'd just do that, we'd be way better off than most people are. We're supposed to be godly. And we learn that and we know that because the scriptures teach us that. Somebody that lives ungodly and wicked, they're not interested in what the scriptures have to say. Or they try to twist them to fit their own lifestyle and their own ungodliness. But I'm telling you, you can't twist the scripture. God's already said it and settled it. We must abide by it. It doesn't abide by us. And so we see here that the word doctrine is used multiple times and over and over and over in the scriptures. Say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? You know, I don't see the importance of that. Well, it's important that you learn the doctrine so you can live by it. This is what it says. Timothy is being put in charge of the church there at Ephesus. So this is out of Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's why we must do that. That's why we need to take heed to doctrine. That we not be not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I'm telling you, the wind blew yesterday, didn't it? I'm telling you, it blew stuff over all over our yard, and things happened because of that wind. You know, that's what happens to a person that says they're saved and they're not grounded in the doctrines of the Bible and the scripture. They're just all over the place. They're liable to be Pentecostal next week. They're liable to be something else the next week. You never know where they'll wind up. And I'm telling you that you and I must understand the necessity of Bible doctrine. It is important in our life that we learn these things and live by these things. You say, well, you know, I like to hear those exciting stories. Well, look at our churches today. Look at the bulk of churches today. That's what that kind of preaching has brought us the last 20 years. All that, those stories and that embellishing of so-called events in their life and things that they've heard of, it has not grounded the church whatsoever. She has tossed about. Now those same people that used to do that, now they've been tossed about themselves. And they're deceiving. And they're doing what they can to do to draw a crowd. But I'm telling you, friend, we ought to be grounded. It shouldn't matter who it is comes in this church or in our church and stands up with the most eloquent speaker in the world and says something wrong. We shouldn't be persuaded by that. Well, be grounded and rooted in the things of God and the doctrines of God, be sound in our lives. And you and I ought to be firm and believers of Bible doctrine. We must be that. Because of the lack of that, our churches have strayed. Our churches have wandered. They've been tossed. And for whatever reasons, our churches have adopted fables and vain janglings and all kinds of different things and are not sound in their doctrine. Churches have wavered in salvation. Things that used to be a bedrock and be known by all the independent Baptist churches what salvation involves and what it is, now they've changed that to make it more palatable to the community. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if people come or don't come. It doesn't matter if people get saved or don't get saved. This Bible doesn't change. And they'll have to yield to the Scripture and the truth of it and not us yield the Bible to make them feel comfortable. But because of false doctrine, because of the doctrines of devils, because of all these different things, instead of true and sound doctrine, we've lost some things in salvation. Now you can get saved and still live any way you want to. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're a new creature. The Bible says you're changed when you get saved. Now you can say you get saved and continue just like you did before you said you got saved. And live as wicked as you want to, but you can still say you're saved and the church say amen to it. That's not what the Bible says. Because of the lack of sound doctrine, they've wavered in salvation. They've wavered in Scripture. Most independent Baptist churches used to be King James only. That's not the way it is today, brother. I wish it was so, but there's independent Baptist churches that are allowing other things to be taught in their Sunday school area. It might not be in the pulpit yet, but if you allow it in the Sunday school area, you might as well allow it in the pulpit. They've swayed from Scripture. They've been tossed about in this doctrine of Scripture. And I'm telling you, if you don't nail it down and make sure, there'll be other people that'll try to persuade you that the King James is not the only Bible for English-speaking people. But it is. Sound doctrine. It has caused a wavering in salvation, in Scripture. This caused a major fallback from sanctification. Simple things. When I was growing up, I've been saved 40 years in May, like I said, and in those 40 years, it's amazing how things have changed. Things that you never would have used to have saw, I'm telling you now, are just common. Everything goes nowadays in most churches. It's unbelievable. Men that I thought once stood and once believed right are now anything goes. Who's changed? The Scriptures haven't changed. Sanctification is almost a four-letter word in most churches. That's your opinion. No, it's the Bible. Now, I have some opinions, but I've got some Bible too. So does your pastor, and so do other men that believe this book. And the doctrine of salvation is a biblical doctrine. It's not a cuss word. It's not wrong. It's not for 30 or 40 years ago. If it was right then, it's right now. You've heard that saying all your life, but it's just a fact. Sound doctrine, Bible doctrine, in sanctification is necessary for us to preach. That we would make sure that we strengthen those things that remain. And this is the thing the devil will tell you. He'll show you a church somewhere and you might know some of the people. Because we experienced this. You might even be kin to some of the people. And you'll see that they've let every sanctifying doctrine that they've ever believed almost go out the window. But yet they still claim old time religion. Yet they still hoop and holler at church. Yet they seem like they're at top of the world and everything's going well. But they have forsaken the sanctification doctrines of this Bible. And the devil will tell you, look at them, they're doing good. Oh, they're growing. Oh, look at that, they're driving nice cars and everything's going well for them. And they're not living like the Bible says, so it must not be that big of a deal. It's a big deal. Regardless of what happens in this world, in this life, there's people don't even claim no religion that's got fancy cars and everything going well for them, it seems like. But the end of their life won't go well. Bible doctrine of sanctification is vitally important, and we need not forget that. If the let me ask you this. Is there anything that the preacher could get up here and preach that's in this Bible that you wish he wouldn't preach? Is there anything he could open this Bible and preach from the scripture that how we ought to live and you wouldn't like that? You know what it ought to be? We ought to say, preach it anyway, preacher, and let me get right with God about it. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me what I need and help me to be instructed from the Bible. I've given my life to Christ and I will yield myself to the truth of scripture. That's how that ought to be our attitude. But most time it's not. We see because of the lack of doctrine in our churches, we see that there's a wavering from service, how we're supposed to serve God. Now you can get on a platform and play rock and roll and everything's wonderful. Not according to scripture. You don't play worldly things and try to mix God in with it. But there's a vast misconception about how to serve God, but not according to scripture. The doctrine of the scripture is plain and simple. He says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. We're not supposed to be like the world, especially here at church. Nowhere, but especially here at church. But because of the lack of sound doctrine, now any and everything goes. Because of the lack of sound doctrine, people have wavered on sin. What used to be sin is not sin anymore. What happened? Things that used to not be tolerated now are flaunted in our churches. Things that nobody would dare even mention, now they're proud as a peacock about it. Put it all over the internet that they're doing it, and nobody better not say anything about it or you're a legalist. The problem is the scriptures have not changed. The doctrine of sin is still in the Bible, and it would behoove us to live godly like the doctrine talks about being godly in our doctrine. And would lead us to live a godly and a holy life for the glory of God. The doctrines of this Bible are vitally important to keep us on track and help us to know how we're supposed to live and to live by them, not to waver, not be tossed about. If your best buddy in church comes over and says, you know, I think this is right. If it's not right according to scripture, it shouldn't affect you whatsoever. If he wants to be wrong, you might not be able to stop that, but you can stop you from being wrong. You can make sure that the doctrines of the Bible are your mainstay or what you believe, and you've nailed those things down. There's sound doctrine in your life. Good doctrine is what he said. And you and I learn that these things that are taught in scripture, that's what we hold on to. We do not hold on to fables and things that man have come up with. We hold on to what God said, and that's this Bible. You've got to nail that down. Because there's people leaving independent Baptist churches that do believe the truth. They're leaving them by the droves, going to these places that don't believe anything. Where they can live any way they want to, and they can do anything they want to, and the preacher sure ain't going to say nothing about it because he does the same things. When somebody says, you know, I love our pastor because I can sit down with him and drink a beer and talk about spiritual things. When they make those kinds of statements, and these are people that used to go to meetings with us in days gone by. When they make statements like that, friend, you see the progression going away from the doctrines of the Bible. And if that was just an isolated incident, it would be bad enough, but it's not. It is a growing thing. That the doctrines of the Bible have almost become a relic and antiquated, that we don't have to pay no attention to them anymore, and we need something new and exciting and something that'll allow us to be free. We're free already if you're saved. I'm no longer under the bondage of sin. I was set free. I've been made free in Christ Jesus. I used to be bound by sin. I'm bound no longer. And I'm telling you, the truths of Scripture and the doctrines of this Bible have enlightened me so I can live for God and not be bound down. But I'm telling you, people are getting and have gotten away from the truth of Scripture. And we need to thank God for a Bible. We need to thank God for a man that will preach the truth to us. And we need to thank God we have an opportunity to adhere to Scripture, listen to them, and be obedient to them as we walk for God in this life. So may God help us. May it not be boring to us. May it not be, oh, I've already heard that before. You've heard everything I've said tonight before I know that. I'm not trying to give you anything new. But some of those very people I've talked to you about have heard the same thing too. Some of them have said amen to them in days gone by. There's some people that I saw one time online. If I name them, you'd probably know them. And the things that they said they used to stand for, they threw them out the window going down the road about 100 miles an hour and left them way far behind. But because they did it, don't mean we have to do it. You young people, younger people here tonight, you need to establish this in your life early. You need to establish in your life the truth of the Bible, the doctrines of this book, and stick with them until you're old like me. You need to go for God. Make up your mind you're going to go for God, and you do that by listening and living by this book. And in doing so, God will help you not to go into doctrines of devils and be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Let's pray, if you will. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. May you please help all of us, myself, my wife, all of us, Lord, to stay with this book, to live and abide in the doctrines of this Bible. Help us to do your precious will, we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we all stand, get ready for the invitation service. Question you can ask. I can't cover nothing that he didn't. I can't say nothing better than he can. Question that you can ask is, what are you standing on as a Christian? What are your beliefs? If you have to, if you feel like you need to come to the altar, the Lord's dealing with you about something. The altar's open. That's why he sang this song.
155.
155, as we say. Praying, pray for the shepherd.